Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. The day of Doug continues. I'm just out here hosting shows, trying to make a buck. What's up, folks? How you doing? Yeah, I haven't been on in at least 15 minutes. Hope you're having a great day. I know I am. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. It is proudly brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything when it's game time. Have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Now, one game is a small sample size. Small sample size. So when I tell you that yesterday was afformation, it is conformation. When I tell you that yesterday only proved my point, that it's just silliness, the idea that the Warriors aren't better with Kevin Durant as opposed to without Kevin Durant. And I get it. You had those stats at one point in time. They were 32-1 or whatever, now 32-2. And I, without, when Kevin Durant doesn't play and Steph Curry does. I get it. You look at final output, you look at final numbers, you look at stats, and you think, oh, okay. Gottlieb always tells us it is about, you play sports to win sports. And they win at a higher percentage clip when KD doesn't play. But here's the thing, and this is really, really important. One, you cannot fool players. It's always been something that I've believed. And while sometimes players will be disingenuous with things and say things about their coaches, their teammates, their families, which are not always 100% accurate, when enough of them say the exact same thing, start to nod your head and go, oh, okay. And the Warriors have been telling us, dude, you just got to trust us. We know how good this cat is. We know how much better he makes us. That's why we went and got on a plane and flew out to the Hamptons on the 4th of July. Right? The second part is that the playoffs are all about matchups. The reason that they were able to come from behind and beat the Portland Trailblazers in those last three games is quality matchups. Right? Matchups. It's a good matchup. They beat the pants off the Blazers with KD. They beat the pants off. They came back and beat the Blazers without KD. That is a good matchup for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. There's nobody that matches up to them. Last night is a bad matchup. Right? When you have Pascal Siakam, he's just too long, too athletic. He's too big. Remember, Draymond Green, he might be 6'5". He looked tiny in comparison to Siakam. This is a deep, athletic team. And what the ball movement does, what ball screens do, what all this stuff does is it creates better, positive matchups for Steph Curry, right? And you have to. And the reason that they have to move it less and have to do less and may not be as, by some people's estimation, as enjoyable to watch when KD plays is he almost always has a positive matchup. There just aren't a lot of dudes that are 7 feet tall with long arms that can handle the ball and play in the post or can guard a guy handling the ball and playing in the post at his size. He is a matchup nightmare. He is a matchup breaker. He is what the NBA folks say is, hey, good defense is solved by better offense. So then I read this from Ramona Shelburne. The Warriors have been reminding anyone who would listen how much they needed Durant over the past 3 weeks, but that concerted charm offense wasn't lip service. Privately, the Warriors had been concerned about their chances to beat Toronto or Milwaukee in the finals if Durant wasn't to play. They knew they needed him as a fail-safe, not just on offense, but the defensive end to match up with Giannis and Kawhi. Andre Iguodala told Rick Bucher before game one, when Kawhi isn't out there, when KD isn't out there, we know we have to work harder. So it's a different type of thing. We've had success, and it's like, see what happens when KD's not there? No, I came out of that Houston series, no KD was there, stress on my body, and now something flares up. That's because KD wasn't there. But nobody's going to say that. I'm playing 40 minutes a game versus Houston and then hobbling around on one leg in the next series. I miss KD. We win 4-0, but no one's thinking about that. Look, you can't fool players. These guys aren't just saying it because they want KD to stay there. They're saying it because it's the truth. He makes life easier. He takes stress off of Steph offensively, off of Klay, off of all these guys defensively as well. And he creates positive matchups where they didn't previously exist. And those things are irreplaceable. Now, does a small sample size one game mean they can't beat Toronto? No. No. Does it mean they were as bad defensively as at times they looked? Absolutely not. No, they're not. Pascal Siakam's not going to have over 30. I don't think Marc Gasol is going to hit that many jump shots. I do think Kawhi Leonard being injured is an issue. I don't think that Fred VanVleet is going to continue to be able to contain Steph Curry. You know, and we're making a big deal about how Steph Curry didn't make field goals. Like, he had 34. He got to the free throw line a ton. They were doubling him on ball screens and making him go at the ball, and he still managed to have managed to get to the free throw line, which, have you guys seen this stat? This is the most remarkable stat I've ever heard. We had Tom Haverstraw on yesterday. Here's the stat. Steph Curry swishes 84% of his free throws. Is that crazy or what? Swishes. So, look, the series isn't over. It's only game one. The Warriors didn't play great. Draymond was just okay. He got into a little kerfuffle with Drake. We'll play for you what he thinks of Drake later on in the show. But today is a win for logic, right? And another loss for some sort of analytics. Because, look, I've had people come on, even our show yesterday, Tom Haverstraw come. Well, I just tell you, the analytics tell you they're better without Kevin Durant. You know what? That's great. The logic tells me that when you have the best player in the NBA who is a willing passer, a versatile defender, a versatile offensive player, he has competed and played at his best in big games. Logic tells me they're better with Kevin Durant, and it gives them more favorable matchups. And that logic came out and played last night. That doesn't mean that analytics is crap and that it never has any effect or that it doesn't, but you know, there has to be a balance. And the balance was on full display yesterday as we're watching the Golden State Warriors struggle to make field goals, struggle to get into their offense, struggle to look sound, not turn the basketball over. This is a long, active, younger, hungry Toronto Raptors team. And even though it's only one game and it was a home game, and we're told by anyone who will listen, you know, an NBA series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. That's true. Anyone who will listen will tell us that. The truth is that last night, though, was a home win for Toronto and a needed win, and they got a couple of calls. Because game one is one in which they were more rested, the Warriors, and it's a game traditionally the road team can steal, I thought the series began last night. And we find out this weekend, we find out Sunday, how much counterpunching there is at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. So I don't hate to say I told you so, because I did tell you so. They're better with Kevin Durant than they are without Kevin Durant. And now we wait. Can they win without him? Can he come back at full strength? And if they do come back, can they have enough time, enough games to win the series? And if he's the reason they come back and win. Does that change? Does he reflect upon how much he's needed in Oakland? Let's get you some breaking news. Here's Isaac Lowenkrantz.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Good afternoon, Doug. On Tuesday, Clippers head coach Doc Rivers appeared as a guest analyst on an NBA Finals preview show where he was asked about Kawhi Leonard and said the following.
He is the most like Jordan that we've seen. Like, there's a lot of great players. LeBron is phenomenal. Yeah. KD is phenomenal. But when you, not that he is Jordan or anything like that, but he's the most like him.
The breaking news is that the NBA has just fined the Clippers $50,000 for those remarks for violating the league's anti-tampering rule. The fine in response to those comments made about Kawhi Leonard by Doc Rivers. In a related story, I'm trying to find out if David Stern has pulled off a coup and is back in power running the NBA. Back to you.
Yeah, it's a really, really hard one. It's a really hard one, you know? It's a difficult thing for anybody to figure out is how do you have Doc Rivers on the show? They ask you about a player, you just say something nice, and now you get fined. Did he go a little over the top? Yeah. And by the way, comparing him to Michael Jordan is in fact ridiculous. He's not the closest thing to Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant is the closest thing because Kobe Bryant actually talked like Jordan. Walked like Jordan, played the same position as Jordan. His moves were the same as Jordan. Our quest for the next Jordan, we missed it. I didn't say Kobe was as good as Mike. But you want a guy that played like Mike? His name is Kobe Bean Bryant.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Rockets and Mike D'Antoni have broken off contract extension talks. Here's their owner, Tillman Fertitta.
I'm just going to tell you what I think from an owner's perspective, okay? I don't know what lame duck means because he's under contract. I think his agent did me a favor, okay? Because if for some reason we had a horrible year and we thought we needed to make a coaching change, we just got through paying off one of the other coaches, I believe. So if I hope we win a championship and Mike comes and puts a gun to my head.
Yeah, it's a very matter-of-fact way of looking at something that frankly, I've kind of never understood, which is this idea that, well, you know, you got to have a couple extra years in your contract. Like, no, you don't. No, you really don't. You know, maybe one specific guy wants to play one specific style. Like, yeah, it's not really how it works in the NBA. You don't need to have, there's no lame duck contract year. It's just like a player. Player has a year left in his deal. You play it out. And then at the end of it, you end up, you know, using your success as your leverage. You can go somewhere else. I don't think it's crazy. Why should I have to pay you for two more? I'm paying you. I can always give you a new contract. And as much as you could say, well, look, when you're young and you have a family and you need, that's different. That is not the state that Mike D'Antoni's in. Mike D'Antoni is in the poop or get off the pot stage. He's 68 years old. He's coached in Denver. He's coached in Phoenix. He's coached in Italy. He's coached now in New York. Well, he's coached in LA, in New York, in Phoenix, and in Houston. Hey, he has not won a championship, but he's made most of those teams, all of them watchable, most of them successful, and been a whisker away from the finals with two different teams, with Phoenix 1 year and with Houston last year. But he hadn't gotten there. And so why, if I'm an owner, do I have to feel compelled to give a guy, you know, three, four more years when I don't want to? When I don't want to. I want to see exactly what we got and exactly how he, you know, works and improves with what we got. I don't think any of that's crazy. I really don't. So part of this is maybe a new owner with a new way of doing things. Part of this is just a new owner who wants to see some success and wants to see how a coach figures it out. You know, they talked Jeff Bezdelic out of retirement and then they went and retired him again, got rid of him. But I see it. I mean, I don't think any of us are sitting there going like, I don't know what he's doing. No, he's frustrated. And so too must Rockets fans. And I'm sure Daryl Morey's frustrated and Mike D'Antoni's frustrated to get that close that many times and to feel like you have the right. And then you get a little bit lucky and you have just enough injuries. All of those things, and you can't get it done. I don't think frustration is something that we should be surprised by in any way. I really don't. I don't. I frankly think you'd be frustrated too. If that was you, you would be frustrated to the point of being livid. And Fertitta was livid. He's made some changes. He's made some statements. He's talked about, hey, he's probably told Daryl Morey, everybody's available, although, you know, I wouldn't trade James Harden. And let's tweak that coaching staff. It doesn't feel like panic. It feels like you're being very reasonable and firm. And there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between being focused and being neurotic. There's a difference between being motivated and being super, super nervous over the outcome. And I think Fertitta has a pretty good feel on his level of emotions and what he wants, and it does kind of make sense. Like, at what point in time are we going to, you know, are we going to make Mike D'Antoni stop telling us he's pregnant and show us the baby? That's really what it comes down to. He's been good for a long time. Good for a long time. But he has not come through, or his teams have not come through. And some of it is through no fault of his own, and some of it is through fault of his own. You know, the MO on Mike D'Antoni was always he didn't care about defense. And then he found Jeff Bezdelic as his defensive coordinator, and they also tinkered with some of the roster, and they were better. And yet, some of it is you got to tip your cap to Steph Curry and the shots that he made. Some of it was the adjustments that they didn't make defensively down the stretch when Golden State changed with their approach. And while you can't change the outcome of a Steph Curry 30-footer in your eye fadeaway three, you can definitely change the outcome or the process of getting to that outcome if you didn't like the lack of defensive adjustments when Golden State really ran the same play for the last 5 minutes of the game over and over and over and over again.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Caron Butler's got a new juice business, Juice Buds, B-U-D-Z. It's getting back to the basic, 100% raw, cold-pressed fruits and vegetables. It's out here in the Valley, Sherman Oaks, Canoga Park, juicebuds.com. You can also visit the online store, hashtag taste the wellness. He's living that California lifestyle and dream, working for every different network and starting up juice franchises. Caron, how are you?
I'm doing great, bro. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I need to get on the meal plan. Let's start with last night. How was Pascal Siakam able to get off?
Hey, listen, I think he did a remarkable job of just taking advantage of the situation. Every time that you play in a playoff series or any game, prior to the game, you have a scheme, and the scheme was to allow him to beat you. And if he's able to beat you, you tip your hat off to him, and you say, look, great job. And that's exactly what happened. He capitalized on opportunities, making shots. He did a remarkable job of running the floor, being extremely efficient. He had opportunities, but he was efficient in those opportunities. And that's why the Toronto Raptors got a quality win at home.
Yeah, there's a little bit, and granted, it's only one game, but it's a little bit of that Andre Iguodala when he was the MVP during their first championship, you know, where the Cavs said, hey, well, let's make Andre Iguodala beat us, and Andre Iguodala did, in fact, beat him.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what happened. And whenever you go into a playoff series, you want to take away something, but when you take away something, you give away something else. Prior to the last series, the Toronto Raptors realized that Giannis was a problem, so you had to stop him from going downhill. You put your best defender on him, Kawhi Leonard, and you built the wall and you forced, you know, guys like Malcolm Brogdon and specifically Eric Bledsoe to beat you, and he wasn't able to knock down perimeter shots. Therefore, it cost him the series. Now, this series that we're talking about now, the Golden State Warriors did a remarkable job of, you know, trying to corral Kawhi Leonard as much as possible, but that left opportunities up for Van Fleet, Marc Gasol to have perimeter shots and opportunities. And they was efficient in that space, and that's the reason why they got the quality win.
Caron Butler joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How much of that was one game? How much of that is just matchups and the issues they're going to have without Kevin Durant?
Look, I think it's more than just one game, and I'll tell you why. Like, I look at the course of the game, and I look at the series between these two teams, you know, even in the regular season, you know, it's obviously a different season. But at the same time, the Raptors had a ton of success from a pace standpoint. You look at the lead changes in this game. It wasn't many. The Warriors never got a cushion in this ball game. And let's just face it, Klay Thompson played solid basketball. Steph Curry was himself. And other guys, I just don't know where that third scoring punch or fourth scoring punch is going to come from. Draymond is going to have his hands full. And sometimes your best offense is your defense, and Siakam is going to keep him occupied. So he's not going to be as efficient as he was in the last series versus the Portland Trailblazers.
Before the game, were you one of those guys that thought they were better without Kevin Durant?
Come on, man. That's fool's gold right there. Like, I think that when you add a guy like Kevin Durant, a future Hall of Famer, a guy that you cannot tell the story of basketball without mentioning, he's an MVP. You got two MVPs in their prime, and him and Steph Curry playing on the same basketball team. They're unstoppable. They're pro stars. But when you take one of those guys off, they're different and they're fun to watch, but they're I don't think that they're just a clear-cut favorite to win, because Kevin Durant is a guy that can offset two or three all-stars on the opposing end of the floor. And I just don't think they have that threat no more. So now they almost have to play perfect basketball. Otherwise, you have situations like you had in game one.
Totally agree with you. When do you think he comes back and plays? I mean, like, I don't know. You know more people closer to it, but I mean, calf strains are hard. You can feel like you're fine, and then all of a sudden you feel it pull again. What's your best guess?
Look, I think game three, but it's one of those situations. Like, is he healthy enough to play in the NBA Finals? You know, you don't want him to come out and not be himself, and therefore he's hindering the team because he's not himself, and he's not able to do some of the things that you need him to do. But, you know, a 50%, 60% Kevin Durant, as long as he's not damaging himself from a physical standpoint even further, is better than, you know, some guys at full speed, 110%. So I'll take that any day. But the same thing, I look at the regular season. Kevin Durant averaged 40 points. Shot 58% from the field, 53% from the three, and the Raptors still won. So he has to come back extremely efficient, and that still may not be enough in this series if the Raptors are clicking.
Why do you think, is it because they haven't been here before? Why do you think that the Raptors don't get the respect that you're giving them?
But look, I think a lot of people just feel like one of the things you just touched on, because they haven't been here before, or you haven't paid a ton of attention to the Raptors all season long. Now, being on this side of the field, you know, I'm a basketball head, and I love the game of basketball, and I love what they do. I love the style that they play. People don't understand that Pascal is probably the most improved player in this league, and the reason why C.J. Miles is not there is because the development of him, you know, over the course of this season. They had to make a trade because this guy just, you know, exceeded all expectations in a matter of a couple months. So I think that this team is a force to be reckoned with. They did a remarkable job of acquiring Gasol. Van Fleet is just playing lights out after the birth of his child, and it's remarkable to watch. And I think they clicked right at the right time. And if Kawhi Leonard stays healthy, I've seen him hobbled a little bit. It looked like he slowed up a little bit since the last series. But if he stays healthy and he can be a threat on the offensive end and the defensive end, they have a realistic shot at winning a championship.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. What's the latest word on a guy like Kyrie? Like, he's a different cat now. You know, we've had people say all of a sudden Brooklyn's in the mix. What are you hearing?
I always heard that it was Brooklyn, and then all of a sudden now the dark horse is the Los Angeles Lakers, and for numerous reasons. And I would love to see that happen. I think the championship in Cleveland and him and LeBron uniting and figuring it out was like one of the best stories in basketball history, you know, bringing a championship to Cleveland. So if they reunite in Los Angeles, and if you're able to acquire a guy like Jimmy Butler in free agency or Bradley Beal via trade or something like that, and then you still have the talent that you have on the roster already in Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and possibly Lonzo Ball, but somebody got to go if you're going to acquire Bradley Beal via trade. I think that's a great foundation. I think you can make a lot of noise. If LeBron James stay healthy, you're going to be somewhere between 3 and 5 in the Western Conference. And I'll take that if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers.
How much does all of the noise of the exit of Magic Johnson, the recent report, how much does that affect guys?
I mean, I don't think it affects guys. I think you know, like, pretty much where there was smoke, there was fire. And now you know the reason why there was smoke and why it was a fire that, you know, was trying to be put out on the fly during the course of the season. You heard rumblings. Now you just got the real story in his own words. And now it's something that everybody moved past. I think that it was important to make sure that you had a coach in place for free agency, for all the things, and make sure that, you know, Jenny Buss, LeBron James, and the coach all align, and it seemed like they are, and they're trying to move forward, you know, and attack the draft process and free agency in a respective manner.
What do you think of this, the Houston thing? Houston loses, and they offered really an incentive-laden deal to Mike D'Antoni, and so now he's got 1 year left. They fired a couple of his assistants. And everyone except for James Harden is available for trade. What do you think of Houston's reaction to losing to Golden State again?
Well, I think that any other situation where have you seen Mark Jackson in the past or other coaches that done extremely well when the expectation is to win the championship and that's the ultimate goal, when you don't exceed or meet that expectations, You're on the hot seat. You're in a situation that you fell short of the destiny with the talent that you had assembled. And I don't understand why would it be different with D'Antoni or any other of some of the household names. You look at guys like Brad Stevens. He's done a remarkable job at the University of Butler. He was the coach's dream. But some of that expectations and hardship got to fall on him, too. They fell a little short. Why wasn't he able to get Gordon Hayward acclimated? Why wasn't he able to assist Kyrie Irving? Why wasn't he able to structure some of the talent in a reasonable way on the fly? Brett Brown, the same way with the Philadelphia 76ers. They fell short, but he said the expectations wasn't to go to the championships and that they was a year or two still away, but you acquired all this talent. It seemed like everybody was all in. So, look, I think everybody needs to be held accountable, and when they fall short of expectations, just like players when they get traded, they ought to be on the hot seat also, and expectations need to be placed upon them.
Great stuff. When am I getting some of the? When am I try some of the Bud's juice?
Man, you got to make sure you try it, man. When I come through, man, next time we do this next hit, man, I'm going to slide through and drop off a couple boxes to you, Doug. I got you.
I'm in. All in. Caron Butler, Tough Juice. Check out Bud's. That's B-U-D-Z. B-U-D-Z. Of course, you can order it online. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Chris Broussard is a longtime NBA insider. Now he's a radio host and opinionist. You see him on all our shows on Fox Sports 1. You hear him on The Odd Couple, which is an outstanding radio show, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, alongside crazy uncle Rob Parker. Is it as easy
now,
as...
Now, Doug, like you, I just get to run my mouth.
It's exactly right. It's great.
I like it.
I know, right? You've had opinions on stuff for a long time. Now you get to share them.
Right.
Before last night, were you a, you know, they might be better without Kevin Durant guy?
No. I did think it was a legitimate question. I thought everybody, you know, killing it like, oh, that's ridiculous. No, I thought it was up for debate. I felt they were better with Durant. Obviously, they're different. But I felt with the record we've seen in the regular season, obviously they were playing well in the postseason. They have won a title and, you know, 73 games without him. So I didn't feel like it was ridiculous to wonder like a lot of people were. And I just felt it was an open question. Like, for instance, if you added James Harden to Golden State, certainly talent-wise they'd be much better, but would they actually be a better team? I think we both probably say no, just because of fitting all those pieces together. So I thought it was a legitimate question, and that's one of the things that I'm really excited about watching in this series. It looks like Durant may end up coming back, but I really was intrigued to see, can they win it or not without him? Like, I really wasn't pulling either way, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect how great Durant is individually, but I did want to see, can this team actually win a title without him, or are they not good enough without him to win it?
It does feel like this could be, it actually could set up really well for Kevin Durant, right? Like, if everything we've been told is true, which is, end of the day, that guy just wants to be respected as the best player in the game. And now all of a sudden, if they fall down 2-0 and he comes riding in his white horse and they win the series, won't he get the respect that he's felt like he deserves?
Oh, I'm totally with you. I mean, that would be magical for Kevin Durant. Whether it's 2-0, 2-1, you know, if they look like they're hanging on for dear life and he comes back and it's Kevin Durant, plays his normal game and leads them to the championship, probably would be a finals MVP again. That whole narrative about they didn't need him and all that dies. You know, because even, you know, if they couldn't beat Kawhi and the Raptors without him, a lot, you know, the assumption is going to be, well, they wouldn't have beat LeBron. Or certainly not LeBron and Kyrie without him, especially those two had beaten them before. So I think that entire narrative dies. And what I would say to Durant in that situation is stay. Like, if his main reason for considering leaving, as you said, is just respect, validation, then stay. If that scenario played out, stay. Go for your fourth straight ring, which no one's done other than Bill Russell. And I know Steph would have four as well, and he would, you know, have one more than Durant overall. But it would clearly be Durant's the best player, and they can't win it without him. So, start the new arena in San Francisco. Like, there'd be every reason to stay, especially, Doug, considering this as well. He could stay, win one more, or lose it, whatever would happen next year. And then he could still leave as a free agent in 2020. You would get to see, where does Kyrie go? How do the Clippers look? You know, does Anthony Davis wind up in New York? Maybe I go there. Like, you could actually step back and watch free agency play out, and then maybe even have a better barometer of where you may want to go if indeed you ever want to leave Golden State.
It's an interesting point. It feels like Kawhi's not right. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, look, I do think one of the things that Golden State did well last night, obviously they struggled in a lot of areas, but I thought their plan against Kawhi, you know, Iguodala, first give him credit individually, then they obviously doubled Kawhi a lot, got the ball out of his hands, and he clearly didn't have his typical game. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if it was all their defense, he just had a bad night, or was it the injury? You know, that tendonitis, which is what everybody's saying he has, that can just come and go, you know, and at times it can really bother you. You come down the wrong way, you kind of forgot it was there, and now it bothers you again. So that's probably what's going on. It's flaring up here and there and bothering him at times. And obviously that is huge, because I would expect Pascal Siakam to play even close to the way he did last night every game. And so they're going to need Kawhi to be much better to win this series. So that's a huge thing to watch.
What's going on with Houston?
Yeah, look. This owner, and I think I heard you saying it on the Herd, and you're right on the money, because I've talked to some people in Herd. The owner, Furtado, he's not there to just have a nice little run. You know, he is there to win. I've heard that Daryl Morey, while, you know, since he's been in Houston, he's been given carte blanche, do whatever he wants, and he's done a solid job, obviously. But this guy's like, look, win. Like, I'm hearing that Morey is, I don't want to say on the hot seat, but the pressure is on. This owner, you know, he just paid. Look, we all knew, Doug, it's ridiculous to pay Chris Paul 4 years, $160 million at his age with his injuries and so on and so forth. And they went ahead and did it because obviously that was part of the deal when he decided to get traded. You know, he wanted to go there. But it was a bad move. And it's for Fertitta's money. So he wants championships, and they're all feeling the heat. I don't like the fact that they allowed it to leak, whether it was them or other teams, that, you know, everybody on the roster is available. I don't think that's going to sit well with Chris Paul. And people might say, so what? But the fact is, you're probably not going to be able to trade Chris Paul. And that being unlikely, I think you got to keep that stuff a lot quieter because it could be disruptive in your locker room. But, you know, I don't want – I like the fact of bringing D'Antoni back for at least one more year. Give him a chance to see if he can tweak that offense, change and get more player ball movement, less Harden-centric. And if he can't, you go in a different direction after that. But I don't think he should be fired like some people have been saying.
Yeah, but then you look at Toronto, and they fired their coach, and granted, D'Antoni's been here longer and won elsewhere. On the other hand, what assistant would even take over?
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, who are you looking at? They've had other coaches, McHale, that have had, you know, moderate success there. And here's the thing with Chris Paul and Harden. I'm sure you were thinking the same thing as me. When you're watching Chris Paul play in Houston, I'm sitting there watching, especially this year, and saying he has voluntarily turned himself into a role player for James Harden and the hope of winning a championship. And I give him credit for that because he's been a ball-dominant guard. He's been the number one guy and, you know, always directing traffic and in control. And so I give him credit for giving that up to try to win a ring. But when you don't win a ring, when you do get beat earlier than you think you should in the playoffs, now, understandably, Chris Paul is like, hey, I gave it up. I sacrificed. But if we're not going to win, then let's play a different way. Let's get me more involved. Let's get other guys more involved. And the question, Doug, is can Harden play differently at this point? There's no doubt he could have at one time. You know, when he came off the bench in OKC, he was a playmaker, you know, obviously accepted his role. When he first went to Houston, he played differently. But after a few years of just carte blanche to do whatever the heck you want, everything is based on you, you're getting incredible accolades, one MVP, maybe another one. You know, you're being mentioned in the same breath as Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain and challenging their records and stuff. Can he go back to being a part of a system rather than the entire system and average maybe 26 points, 27 points, 25 points versus the 35 or 36 he's been averaging lately? So that's a big question in my mind as well.
What's the latest on the reaction to the latest Lakers story? Like, Magic keeps trying to put out the fire, and yet it's like trying to put out a grease fire with water. It doesn't seem to be working. It may actually be making it worse.
Now, are you referring to Josh Hart was on a podcast with Danny Green, and he said the only two players that weren't on the trade market were LeBron and KCP? Are you referring to the big story that indicted everyone? Magic, Pelinka, Rich Paul, Jeannie Buss. Like, what? I mean, there's so many things wrong with the Lakers. Like, which specifically, what part are you referring to?
Well, most specifically, Magic going on ESPN, right? Like, he goes on and, yeah, the Baxter Holmes story, that was this week.
Right.
And then he comes out and he says, you know, basically none of it's true from him on all the rest of it might be true. None of the stuff that's negative towards him is true.
Right.
And,
right,
you know,
right,
in the process, continues to throw everybody under the bus. Is this going to affect who they get if they get somebody in the offseason?
Well, I think Anthony Davis obviously is their dream. I don't think any of this affects him because he still wants to go there. So if they can get him, And Alvin Gentry does like the Lakers' young players, specifically Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, but he also likes Kuzman and all their young guys. And he does have some sway. I know David Griffin really respects Gentry and his basketball knowledge. So there's that. And if they really like somebody at number four, Cam Reddish, you know, Darius, you know, Garland, the point guard out of Vanderbilt, or somebody else, then they could look at that as a nice package. And with the Knicks, there was a report today that they're talking to Atlanta about moving down from number three to, you know, get, I think it was 8 and 10. That would indicate that the Knicks are not, they know, like they've had discussions with New Orleans, and they're not going to be able to get Anthony Davis for their number three pick and whatever other pieces were in the package. So if that's the case, maybe they can get Anthony Davis, and all of a sudden everything becomes great for the Lakers, at least on the court. But look, the front office, you got a few guys that are willing to go there, and then you got guys that would be open to it, or at least hearing about the Lakers and listening to them. Those are the guys that I think this is going to impact, because I don't see any way outside of LeBron that the Lakers can sell themselves better than the Clippers or Brooklyn, you know, from just a strictly front office organizational standpoint. And that's where this stuff will hurt them. But, you know, if they can get their dream guy, Anthony Davis, then all of a sudden this stuff isn't as bad.
All right, let's get back to the NBA Finals. Best guess, when does Kevin Durant play?
You know, part of me thinks that they could really be overly cautious, or maybe get him back a little earlier, depending on how this series goes. If they're up 2-1, I don't think he's coming back for game three. I think it's going to be game four at the earliest. But if they're up 2-1, do they, you know, risk it? And does he want to risk it? Because, you know, this calf strain, I mean, there's nothing to play with. So I think that if they're up 2-1, they may prolong it, you know, as long as they can. Up 3-1, prolong it again. But if they're down 2-1, then I think you could see him in game four. So I know they'll deny that it has to do with where they're at in the series. But don't you find it interesting that this story comes out the night after, right after the loss? Like, there was, when you read that story, there was nothing in there by Chris Haynes of Yahoo. There was nothing in there that was like late breaking, like, oh, something happened during the game. Something happened right before the game. In fact, it said he had been doing on-court stuff earlier in the week. So there really was nothing new to say he'll definitely be back, you know, in this series. So it was odd, the timing of it. And that's one thing that makes me wonder if it could be related to how well they do or don't do in these first few games.
Chris Broussard, so, okay, you think, like, remember, like, we all think a guy comes back and he's immediately the guy he was before he gets hurt, and right, that we don't know. Best guess.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, if I'm Durant, or even, I mean, I guess maybe Golden State, you obviously could use a 60% Kevin Durant. He's better than a lot of other players around the league. But if I'm Durant, I don't know that I'd be willing to, should you risk that, you know? With this type of injury, obviously you could be going into free agency. That's a tough question, and I know he wants to play, but you got to be careful with that type of injury, especially when you could be going into free agency. So I think that's something he's really got to look at. And I don't, like I saw Steve Kerr said today, if Durant comes back, it's not going to be a limited role. It's not going to be a Boogie Cousins or even anything close to that. And I agree with that. Like, I can't imagine Kevin Durant coming back as a role player, a space filler. It's certainly not off the bench. So if he comes back, he's going to start. He's going to be the main guy. And so they got to make sure he's ready for all that.
Chris Broussard, check him out on The Odd Couple, which follows this show in about an hour and a half on Fox Sports Radio, all of our affiliates. 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, along with Rob Parker. CB, thanks so much.
Iducks